Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Being a modern, I'm a little spoiled, and I take a lot for granted, especially when it comes to finding things out, to having information, because now information is at my fingertips. If I need to learn something, I simply Google it. And I love to have that kind of information. If I want to know a recipe, I go online. If I want to have information on research, I go online. And if I can't find it online, there are libraries. There's technical assistance, aka my husband. But there's so much knowledge out there, and if I need to find anything out, I can even look on my phone, which is no longer a phone, it's a mini computer. It's a wonderful gift. But it was not so during Jesus' time. There was no public education. There were no libraries. The books were only for the exceedingly wealthy. And the only place you could get information if you were Joe Schmo was in the synagogue. But usually, the things that were talked about in synagogue, if you were illiterate, were way over your head. So it is no wonder that the people flocked to Jesus. It is no wonder that they wanted to hear his stories, because his stories were stories that they could understand. He never spoke over their heads. His stories connected, and his stories took them beyond this life to the next. Oh, how they loved to listen to him. When that crowd met that day, I wish that Mark had had just a little more information for us. Because it says that when he saw this tremendous crowd gathered, he felt such compassion for them that he started to teach. And all Mark said was he taught them a lot of stuff. Well, I wonder what that stuff was. But I can imagine that the stuff was about Almighty God. I can imagine that it was not how to till your farm better or how to make more money, but how to live a life in the image and in the reflection of God Almighty. I'm sure he taught them many things about life and how to truly live. It's so wonderful that we have information at our fingertips, but there's still a need to learn from Jesus. And learning from Jesus is not about how to get ahead in life. Learning from Jesus is not about all the news that's fit to print and so a lot of it that isn't. Learning about Jesus is learning how to live the backdrop of eternity. It is so vitally important to learn not only facts, but how to live in the light of Christ. I knew a man who was a self-made man, and I don't use that term lightly, but he was a self-made man in the sense that he was raised in a very dysfunctional and abusive household. He did not learn how to be a good person from his mother or his father. In fact, he had said that his father was such a mean drunk that he did the whole family a favor by dying. What an awful thing. But as he grew up, he really wanted to be a good person. And so he was. He was a good, ethical man. He also wanted to learn a trade, and he learned a good trade, and he had his own business, and he was very successful. But the one thing that he couldn't figure out was how to be a good and decent husband. He'd say dumb things to his wife like, "Why do you need to hear that I love you? I come home every night, don't I? Don't ever say that to your wife." In fact, he was on his third wife. But fortunately, his third wife was a church woman, and she said, if you want to marry me, you're coming to church. So he came to church, and he said it was like learning a foreign language. He did not understand anything that they were talking about. He didn't understand what grace meant or faith meant. He didn't know the first thing about communion. Everything confused him. But he said there was a couple in his church that when they sat together, it was almost like you couldn't have put a tissue paper between them. And they had been married 50 years to the same person. And he saw the grace and the love of those two people. And he said, I might not understand anything else, but I want to be like them. And their faithful witness over the years gave him hope. And by the time I got to know him, he had been in church many years, married to that same third wife, still married to the third wife. And when I'd ask my confirmation kids, what person would you say most reminds you of Jesus in this church? Every child would say, that man. You see, he learned something that you couldn't learn in books, and you couldn't learn through listening. You had to learn through observation and through learning of Jesus. And he said in the liturgy, there was one line that stuck out at him. It said, I wait for the Lord. And he thought, I can wait. I don't understand this all, but I can wait. It is so vitally important in our lives to learn from Jesus and to be that example when we go out from this place. Our lives are teaching people every day something about Jesus. There's another modern convenience that has spoiled me, and that is going to the doctor. Whenever I have a little ailment, I march into Mike Flood's office, some of you know his office, and I demand, I don't say to him, I don't feel well, I say to him, I'm sick, and I don't have time for this, and you gotta give me something to fix it. And invariably, he gives me some fix-it pills, and I take the fix-it pills, and I'm right as rain. Boy, do I love modern medicine. Now, I know that if I'm more broken than what he can fix, there are hospitals that are designed to fix it. And I know that even if modern medicine cannot address a specific problem, they work diligently in research. I love the fact that I didn't have to worry when my little one was a baby that he might not make it to 5 years old because of childhood illnesses. That's what immunizations are for. I was so grateful for that. So grateful that there are immunizations coming out all the time, and I'll probably be the first in line when they have an immunization for cancer. We want to be fixed, and we have the opportunity in modern medicine to live long lives. They didn't have that opportunity in Jesus' time. So few children made it past their fifth birthday. That's why they had so many. Many women died in childbirth. It was an awful time to live. If you caught a cold, it could kill you. An infection, hope that you were strong enough. If you broke an arm and a leg, you could be crippled for life. We take this so for granted. So you can imagine when Jesus showed up in those villages and cities and towns, they had heard the news. I'm sure they had heard about the woman who had a fever. And when Jesus entered that house, he cured her and she was well enough to go and serve the whole household. I'm sure they heard about the little girl who was brought to life. I'm sure they heard about the woman who had been suffering for 12 years and even grabbing on to his cloak was healed. I'm sure they had heard all the stories. So they flocked, not to the synagogues, not to the doctor's offices. It says that they laid the sick in the most inopportune places, in the marketplace. Now, can you just picture going into the Piggly Wiggly and seeing stretchers lining the aisles? Or walking into your favorite gift shop and having to step over people moaning on mats? That's where they laid them. And they had the opportunity, as Jesus and his disciples were going for their loaf of bread, to grab onto him, and everybody who grabbed onto him were healed. It's such a wonderful picture that Jesus does not wait for you to have your life together to visit with you and heal you. He doesn't wait for us to say just the perfect prayer. He doesn't wait until we have everything just so and are in the right place at the right time. But Jesus comes to us when we need him the most. And we, as the followers of Jesus, need to take him with us today, with us to the marketplace. Now, I know, for those of you who are tourists, you might have seen this phenomenon. When you go into the Piggly Wiggly, you go there not just to shop, but you'll see people jamming those little aisles, just shooting the breeze. Well, that's our meeting place. Same way with the post office. And so when we go there, we have an opportunity to be Jesus and to bring Jesus to those places that don't really look that religious, but we can bring him there. Some of you have been following with interest the what I would call the perils of my boy. My child is now in the Chicago area trying to find work, and it's been a difficult uphill battle, and so has been trying to find a church. And he's gone from church to church. Now, I have to admit, the boy's very patient. He will go 3 times to a church, because he said sometimes the first time might be an off day. Churches have them. Music might be off. Preaching usually is off. So you have to give it 2 or 3 times. The other part of this equation is that mom nags. And I've even said to him, I'm so happy that you're persevering. He said, it's because I don't want to hear you. Okay, that's fine. So he's gone to these churches, and I will ask the question, how was church? And the answer is meh. That's the kiss of death if a kid says meh. But he'll go 2 or 3 times, and then he'll go to the next one and the next one. And this has been going on for months. Well, last week he went to a church where he could actually tell me the point of the pastor's sermon. That was the first plus. The second was people came to him after church and talked to him. But the third was even more wondrous. I had said to him, when you go to church, you must go to the time of fellowship. And so he went. And he was talking about his struggles. And a lady, not the pastor, not a religious type, over coffee and cookies, not in the sanctuary, said to him, do you mind if we pray now for a job? And he said, not at all. And so right over coffee and cookies, they bowed their heads while everybody's chatting away, and they prayed. She brought Jesus to him. And this is what we do every time we leave this place, because we know that in the most inopportune times, when we're at our lowest, when we're a hot mess, Jesus speaks to us and gives us the privilege of speaking his grace and his healing to others. Let us pray. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. May we take your name, O Lord, this week, wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.